4. Imperial Palace, City of Chiraeth, Kingdom of Chisholm. It was cold on the battlements. Caleb Armok stood in the icy wind, staring sightlessly into the driving snow. He'd stood there for 3 hours, long enough for the front of his hooded parka to turn matted and white, and the tall, sapphire-eyed guardsman had stood at his back the entire time. Merlin Athras, Edward Seahamper, and Charlian Armok were the only people who knew where he was. Charlian had wanted to join him, but he'd only squeezed her hand gently, smiled sadly, and nodded at their sleeping daughter. Then he'd kissed her tear-streaked cheek, climbed into the parka, and headed out into the snowy evening. It was possible the wetness on his own face was only the melting snow. It was possible. Finally, his shoulders moved as he drew a vast breath and turned to look at his guardsman, mentor, and friend. "I didn't really think they could do it," he said quietly, the words barely audible, the voice that of the confessional. "I knew they had to try, that I had to let them try, but I didn't really think they could do it."
"I know," Merlin replied.
"It was worse than watching Gwilym," the Emperor said, shaking his head. "All those men, on both sides, all that killing."
"And Brian," Merlin said softly, and Caleb closed his eyes and nodded. "And Brian," he whispered.
Merlin did something he'd never done before. He reached out, resting one hand on each of Caleb's shoulders, and then he drew the Emperor of Caris into a tight embrace. He held him there, while Caleb let his face rest, for a moment at least, against his armsman's shoulder. Merlin felt his own eyes burning as their composites faithfully mimicked the reaction of their flesh and blood originals. The Battle of the Gulf of Tarrow was going to go down beside Darkos Sound or Crag Reach. That much he already knew. What neither he nor Caleb yet knew, even with access to Al's remotes, was how terrible the final cost was truly going to prove. Lock Island's 25 galleons had been brutally hammered. 11 of them had been reduced to shattered near wrecks. 3 of the 11 had been completely dismasted, and a 12th ship, HMS Stonehill, had burned to the waterline, then exploded. Merlin wasn't certain how it had happened, but he suspected the ship had been deliberately fired by one of the church boarders. He hoped he was wrong, and not just because of the degree of fanaticism that act of self-immolation would represent. 8 of Dominic Stainair's galleons had gotten off with only negligible damage, or even completely untouched, but between them, the other 17 Carisian ships engaged had suffered over 3,000 casualties, 400 of them aboard Stonehill alone when she blew up. That was nearly a third of their total complements, and of that total, half were dead, and many of the wounded were still going to die. As High Admiral Brian Lock Island had died in the final furious melee aboard NGS Crusade. Yet terrible as Caris's losses had been, Cornelis Harper's had been worse. Of the Navy of God's 74 ships, only 9 had escaped. 35 of the Imperial Harchongese Navy's unarmed galleons had been taken, along with 6 of their armed galleons, 5 of which had surrendered to mere schooners, 3 without firing a single shot. The remainder of Harper's fleet had managed to escape, mainly because there hadn't been enough Carisians with intact rigging to chase them, and only a handful of those escapees still had any interest in reaching Desnair. The rest were fleeing back the way they'd come.